Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. It is through the Bible that God reveals to us the good news that He rescues sinners from the coming wrath through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. But if the Bible is just a collection of human writings, void of divine inspiration, it has no authority. How do we know that what the Bible says is true? The ultimate question is, has God spoken? Well, listen now as Hank Hanegraaff answers that very question in this special presentation of Has God Spoken? A message delivered during the Christian Research Institute National Conference in May 2010.
There is a battle for the Bible. The battle for the Bible rages today because so many in the 21st century are utterly convinced that the Bible is human as opposed to divine in origin. And what we want to accomplish today is to demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. In other words, we want to be able to demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt that God has spoken, that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. You and I, unfortunately, take the English Bible for granted and so often fail to remember that up until the 16th century and the invention of movable type, there was no such thing as an English Bible except as reflected in the translation work of the morning star of the Reformation, John Wycliffe. And for his pains in translating the Bible into the English language, Pope Martin V had his bones exhumed 44 years after he had died. The bones burned, the ashes unceremoniously scattered to the wind. Some of those ashes, no doubt, made their way to a man named William Tyndale, who believed that the boy who drives the plow should be as familiar with the Word of God as was the Pope. And so he began translating the Word of God into the English language. October 6, 1536, he was martyred for his faith. As his body was ablaze, William Tyndale cried out, "O God, open the eyes of England's king." His prayers found an answer, ironically, in King Henry VIII, who had Bibles of largest volume chained to pulpits throughout the land. And people would come from hither and yon and hear the immortal words of Scripture. They were intoxicated by the Word of God. Well, eventually, King James I translated the Bible, and we have the King James Version of the Bible, which was commissioned in 1604, completed in 1611, and today we have all kinds of Bibles in every color and shape and size. But the tragedy is that we are no longer students of the Word. And today, as a result of that, we now live in the shadow of the Bible. We're no longer getting into the Word of God or getting the Word of God into us. And I fear one of the reasons that we're no longer getting into the Word of God or getting the Word of God into us is we're not convinced that these are the words of God. We have some doubts. If we did not have doubts, we would be very much like the first century Christians. They turned an empire upside down because they absolutely believed, were utterly convinced that Jesus Christ had indeed risen from the dead and that they too would rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, they would be changed. And as those resurrected from the dead, they would live with a resurrected Christ in a resurrected universe. And so they counted not their lives worthy of death. And many died with smiles upon their lips, songs of praise in their hearts, knowing, it is well with my soul. The Bible is 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. The Bible was not written to you, but it certainly was written for you. And therefore, it is useful to you. It is life transformational. And we ought to be able to communicate to a watching world that it is utterly unique. This is not a cleverly invented story. This is not the story of Joseph Smith, who finds golden plates inscribed in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. Oh, by the way, he also finds some magical eyeglasses. And so he's able to put a seer stone in a black hat, put his face into the hat, and through the gift and the calling and the power of God, he is able to translate Egyptian hieroglyphics into the English language. That's not what we're talking about. That is a fable. That is a story. You have to be bereft of your senses to believe. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about 66 love letters for which we can build a cumulative case that these are indeed divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Now, why am I able to make that kind of audacious statement? It is because today we live in the most blessed of all epochs. We have today, last count, 5,664 biblical manuscripts or manuscript fragments. In fact, you can piece together most of the New Testament using manuscript fragments that are dated within two centuries of the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 5,664, and no doubt someone will come up to me after this conference and say, you are wrong with your number because I just read yesterday that some more manuscripts have been discovered. But last count, 5,664. Now, they're all different. Some are lectionaries, church readings. Some are uncials, caps. Some are minuscules. In fact, some are papyrus manuscripts. Lectionaries, 2,403. Uncials, 306. Minuscules, 2,856. Papyrus manuscripts, 99. Cumulative total, what's the number? 5,664. Now, what's the import of that? The import is this. We don't have the autographs, so the question becomes, how good are the copies? Well, the copies were copied by men who approached the text with reverential awe. Now, they made mistakes because they were not mechanized dictation machines. But they didn't all make the same mistakes. So through the science of textual criticism, you can compare manuscript with manuscript and come up with a facsimile of the autograph. Now, the autograph was written in close proximity to the events that the autographs chronicled. The copies were written in close proximity to the autographs. Therefore, there is little time for legendary contamination or corruption. Consider other works of antiquity. Consider, for example, Homer's Iliad, Bible to the Ancient Greeks. There are only 650 copies of Homer's Iliad. And the autograph and earliest extant copies separated by 1,000 years. Plato's Dialogues. There are only 7 separated by 1,300s of years. Tacitus, only 2. One in the 9th century, the other in the 11th century. So separated by an average of 1,000 years. And yet, we consider those writings credible. How much more so can we know that we know that we know that God has miraculously preserved His Word over time through copious copies? And those copies were written in an oral culture. This was not like the game of telephone where the message gets progressively distorted. No, they were written in an oral culture. Case in point, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What I received, said Paul, I passed on to you. As of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the 3rd day according to the Scripture. Then He appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Now, that statement by the Apostle Paul is not unique. Remember, he says, what I received, I passed on to you as a first importance, that Christ died for our sins, etc. So he's passing along an oral tradition that can be traced all the way back to the Hellenistic believers who lived in Jerusalem even prior to the time that Stephen was martyred. Which is to say, you can take that creedal statement codified in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and trace it back to mere years of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. These oral traditions were passed along by eyewitnesses willing to testify to the point of shedding their own blood. Luke says that he carefully examined eyewitness testimony. Peter says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories. We were eyewitnesses to His Majesty. John, the beloved apostle, says, what we have seen with our eyes, which we have heard, which we have looked at, which we have handled, this we proclaim to you regarding the majesty of Jesus Christ. They sealed their testimonies in blood. Again, when the sword is about to be unfurled, if what you are saying is not true, you might quickly say, time out, I was just kidding. Not only so, but the eyewitness accounts were corroborated by external evidence. In fact, you can piece together highlights of the life of Christ apart from Scripture itself. Through Josephus, Flavius Josephus, a Jew writing to please the Romans. Tacitus, the greatest historian of the Roman Empire. Gaius Suetonius Tranquillus, chief secretary to Emperor Hadrian, who wrote the 12 Caesars. Plinius the Younger, also known as Pliny the Younger, who had a bad habit of executing Christians, yet even the wrath of man will please God, for his writings bear testimony to details and descriptions that you find within the sacred text of Scripture. By the way, Plinius would take Christians who believe that Christ is Lord, and he would say, I will give you three opportunities to deny Jesus Christ. And if they denied Jesus Christ, they were commanded to offer wine and incense to the Roman gods, make oblations. But if they did not deny Jesus Christ, they were summarily executed. He was no friend of Christianity. And yet, through such external sources, you can piece together highlights of the New Testament completely apart from Scripture.
You're listening to a special presentation of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Has God Spoken? A passionate defense of the divine authorship of the Bible delivered at the 2010 Christian Research Institute National Conference is available now on audio CD. We'll send you Has God Spoken as a thank you for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Also, remember that your support of this ministry gives us the resources we need to continue broadcasting across the U.S. and Canada, as well as to provide more impactful resources like Has God Spoken? Request your copy today when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Has God Spoken after this short break. Has God spoken? Muslims say the Quran is the Word of God, and likewise, Mormons claim the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. But has God really spoken through the Quran or the Book of Mormon, or has God spoken through the Bible? As a Christian, knowing the answer to this question is essential to defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of this ministry, we want to equip you with the wisdom to answer this question decisively and to remember the answer for a lifetime. Passionately delivered at the 2010 National Conference in Tampa Bay, Florida, Hank Hanegraaff's message titled Has God Spoken? Definitely answers that very question. To support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and request your copy of Has God Spoken on audio CD, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. Now you can join the Bible Answer Man Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7+ inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and five-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Has God spoken? As a Christian, knowing the answer to this question is essential to defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of this ministry, we want to equip you with the wisdom to answer this question decisively and to remember the answer for a lifetime. Passionately delivered at the 2010 National Conference in Tampa Bay, Florida, Hank Hanegraaff's message titled, Has God Spoken?, definitely answers that very question. To support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and request your copy of Has God Spoken? On audio CD, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Well, now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
So what I've given you thus far is an M. I want you to remember M because I am not yet sophisticated enough to have PowerPoint. So I want you to inscribe this upon the tablet of your heart, M. M represents manuscript evidence. The manuscript evidence is a marvelous tool by which you can demonstrate that God has preserved His Word over time. Right now I'm in the process of writing a book, Has God Spoken? And I've developed an acronym, the acronym COPIES, as in manuscript copies, to give you all the information that I've just communicated in a way that you can remember it. Because the real issue is this. You need to be able to remember the information so you can communicate the information, so you can use the information to change the life of a person, not just for time, but for eternity. This is not something that you want to be cavalier about. Ye are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God is making His way and His will plain through you. Doesn't say ye are therefore Christ's secret agents who have never blown their cover before the unregenerate world. It says ye are therefore Christ's ambassadors. So the only question is, are you going to be a good one or a bad one? It takes some work, doesn't it? I'm standing up here purposely without any notes. Why? Because when I was driving around this property with someone that picked me up because I couldn't get from one place to another, the tram didn't come, the man told me he was studying comparative religions and that he thought that Judaism was perhaps the best. And I was able to use that as a springboard or an opportunity to share the grace and goodness of God. I didn't say, you know what, let me run back to my hotel room and get some notes. I was able to communicate with him. Now, I don't always do it perfectly, but every time I communicate, I recognize there's something else that might have been helpful. And guess what I do? I learn that so that the next time I'll be a more usable tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process of making a difference for time and for eternity. That man heard the gospel. And that man not only heard the gospel, but he heard that the Christian faith is not blind faith, but rather faith rooted in a refutable fact. So the M stands for, I'm an old man, I've got bad hearing. The M stands for manuscripts. So the manuscript copies demonstrate that God has marvelously preserved His Word over time. The A represents archaeology. Now, what if we were back talking about the Book of Mormon? And I'm now building a case for the fact that the Book of Mormon is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. It is the most correct of any book on earth, the keystone to our religion. I'd have a problem. The problem is simply this. What is found in the soil does not correspond to what is found in the Book of Mormon. Anthropology, as well as archaeology, has demonstrated that the Book of Mormon is not divine. So we can say God has not spoken. Well, what if archaeology were to uncover an ossuary containing the corpse of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, would be a game changer. Game up. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. So if, in fact, the corpse of Christ was found, our hope would be unfound and certainly unfounded. But we can know by way of archaeology that what is found in the biblical text is correct. Think with me for just a moment to the archaeological discoveries that we have the privilege of communicating to a lost and searching world. Think, for example, the Merneptah stele, a 7-foot black granite slab bearing an inscription, "Israel is desolated, her seed is not," which lends credence to the fact that Israel was indeed a significant people group, and that as of 1230 BC, they were already in the promised land. So those who rule out the reality of the Exodus now have to ponder that archaeological discovery. Now, again, we're building a cumulative case. I'm not saying that's the end-all or the be-all demonstrating the Exodus. What I am saying is with every turn of the archaeologist's spade, we have more and more corroborating detail for the veracity of the biblical text, unlike with the Book of Mormon. Or consider for a moment the Hittites. Up until fairly recent history, the 20th century, the Hittites were thought of as a mythological people group. In other words, when Abraham bought a plot of land from Ephraim the Hittite for Sarah, his wife, he wanted to bury her there. That's all mythology because Hittites don't exist. Or when King David had Uriah the Hittite killed on the battlefront, mythology, because historically we know no such people group. So the Bible can't be trusted. Ah, and then the archaeologist's spade begins turning the soil. Hattusis, the chief city of the Hittite Empire, is uncovered. And now we know that these are not myths or fables. Or the Assyrians. Did you know that Sennacherib and Ashurbanipal and Sargon, all thought to be mythological kings, until Layard, the great Assyriologist, and Indiana Jones, if there ever was one, began digging along the Tigris River and on the plains of northern Iraq, uncovers Nineveh. Or think about the flood, discovery of the Epic of Gilgamesh, a Babylonian corrupted version of the flood with an insufficient 14-day downpour, as well as a cube-shaped ark that was not seaworthy. But nonetheless, though corrupted, it bears testimony to the fact that a primordial deluge was imprinted on the minds of people in graphic fashion, the counterfeit pointing towards the real, a real seaworthy ark and a sufficient downpour. Now, what I've just done in cursory fashion is given you an acronym, the acronym SHAFT. The shaft of the archaeologist's spade lends credence to the notion that what we find in the soil corresponds to what we find in Scripture. It doesn't conflict, it corresponds. Now, the skeptic says, okay, you're right about the Hittites, you're right about the Assyrians, but in secondary details, the Bible gets it wrong. Consider, for example, the notion that Belshazzar follows Nebuchadnezzar as king. History proves that to be false. So even if Daniel is correct in terms of details and descriptions, it is not comprehensively correct because sure missed it on that one. Archaeology comes to the rescue. In Ur of the Chaldees, a cylinder is discovered by Henry Rawlinson in 1856. And it, along with further archaeological discoveries, demonstrates that Belshazzar served as co-regent with Nabonidus after Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that story in Daniel chapter 5 where the king Belshazzar is having a feast and he calls for the gold and silver goblets that were confiscated from the temple and they begin drinking and praising gods of wood and stone and silver and gold. And in the midst of their revelry, suddenly a hand appears and begins writing on the plaster in the corner near the lampshade. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. And Belshazzar is utterly undone. His knees begin to knock. He literally faints. And the queen says, "O king, live forever. There's a man in this kingdom that can do what all the seers cannot do. He can interpret that for you." So they call Daniel. And Belshazzar says to Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, "If you interpret this for me, I will put a gold chain around your neck and dress you up in purple. And I will make you the third highest ruler of the kingdom." Daniel says to Belshazzar, "Keep your gifts for yourself or give them to someone else, but I will interpret. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. Mene, numbered. Your empire is brought to an end. Tekel, weighed, found wanting. Parson, divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." And that very night, Belshazzar is slain, and Darius the Mede takes over the kingdom. Now, think about that. Why does Belshazzar say to Belteshazzar, "I'll make you the third highest ruler in the kingdom"? The reason is simply this. The other two positions had already been taken. So even in minute detail, the Bible is proven correct because what is found in the soil corresponds to what is found in the scripture. Archaeology helps us towards this cumulative case by which we can know that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin.
Using his memorable acronym, MAPS, Hank Hanegraaff gives you the tools to answer anyone who asks, "How do you know the Bible is the Word of God?" To hear Hank Hanegraaff's full message titled, "Has God Spoken?", delivered at the 2010 CRI National Conference, request your copy today. Available on audio CD for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute when you go online to equip.org. Or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And remember, your generous support of the Christian Research Institute is changing lives all over the world and allows us to continue to provide necessary resources to you and the rest of God's people. Again, you can give your support at 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back.
Thank you.
Set sail into the beauty of Alaska on CRI's 2011 Alaskan Cruise. Join Hank Hanegraaff, Steve Camp, and Elliot Miller for the experience of a lifetime.
Hi, this is Elliot Miller, the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. Last year, I was able to join many listeners to the Bible Answer Man as we did a Caribbean cruise. The fellowship that we had, the prayer, the Bible study, the worship, it was truly a family experience. The opportunity to hear Hank Hanegraaff teaching on a daily basis and Steve Camp ministering both through teaching and song is something that you just can't get anywhere else. So I invite you to go to equip.org and read all about the cruise and join us this June.
To register, call Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. For over 50 years, the Christian Research Institute has been entirely supported by people who've been blessed by our resources and choose to share that blessing with others. None of this would be possible without you. We know that a monthly gift is a big commitment. Not only is it a financial sacrifice, but when life itself gets busy, it can be hard remembering to send your gift each month. And that's why we've created simple, secure, automated giving opportunities through your credit or debit card. And to thank you for this service that you perform that is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God, you will receive a free subscription to our award-winning magazine, The Christian Research Journal. To sign up today to become a Bible Answer Man support team member, go online to equip.org or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Christmas. What does it mean? How can we know the historical accuracy of the incarnation accounts? When was Jesus born? Who were the wise men? What was the first Christmas really like? In his book, The First Christmas, The True and Unfamiliar Story, Paul Meyer helps you explore the who, what, when, and how of Christ's birth. To say thank you for your faithful support this month, we'll send you The First Christmas, a beautifully illustrated hardcover book that distinguishes historical fact from fiction, deepening your understanding of Emmanuel, God with us. Please send your gift today so you can receive The First Christmas in plenty of time to enrich your holiday or serve as a gift to a loved one. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Has God spoken? Muslims say the Quran is the Word of God, and likewise, Mormons claim the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. But has God really spoken through the Quran or the Book of Mormon, or has God spoken through the Bible? As a Christian, knowing the answer to this question is essential to defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of this ministry, we want to equip you with the wisdom to answer this question decisively and to remember the answer for a lifetime. Passionately delivered at the 2010 National Conference in Tampa Bay, Florida, Hank Hanegraaff's message titled, Has God Spoken?, definitely answers that very question. To support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and request your copy of Has God Spoken? On audio CD, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's talk about prophecy. The aforementioned Daniel, writing in the 6th century, is able to give us a progression of kingdoms from Babylon through the Medes and the Persians to Antiochus IV Epiphanes, a Syrian despot who desecrates the temple. It's able to talk about his untimely death and freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus in 165. Now, how can you do that by luck, good guessing, or common sense? A progression of kingdoms, in other words, being able to look down the lineage of history and say, this is what's going to happen. So Daniel is powerful in its prophecy. In fact, Daniel looks forward to the coming of Messiah. In the book of Daniel, we read about Jeremiah's prophecy that the children of Israel will be in exile for 70 years. But those 70 years do not end the exile, for the exile will continue, according to the angel Gabriel, until Jesus Christ comes and liberates us from our exile in sin. And Jesus Christ himself, in the Sermon on the Mount of Olives, that is so eloquent when he is predicting what was spoken of by the prophet Daniel regarding the abomination of desolation would take place within a generation, when the temple would not only be desolated, but it would be utterly destroyed. Now, many skeptics have used that very passage to wag their finger at the prophet, to call him a false apocalyptic prophet, because in that very passage he says, this generation will not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And so Bart Ehrman, chair of the Religious Studies Department at the University of North Carolina, who is battling the Bible, says that Jesus is a false apocalyptic prophet because he thought the second coming would take place within a generation, and it didn't. And therefore, no amount of obfuscation will alleviate him from the moniker false prophet. Of course, had he understood the language of the scripture, he would have understood that Jesus, the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets and a greater prophet than them all, was taking the language of the prophets and applying it to the soon coming destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And remember the words of Jesus Christ when he pointed at this temple, not a temple made of stone and mortar, but a temple not built by human hands. Destroy this temple, said Jesus, and I'll raise it again in 3 days. What if he did not have the power to lay down his life and take it up again? He would have been demonstrated a false prophet. But Jesus had the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again, thus demonstrating that he was, in fact, God in human flesh. Destroy this temple, he said, and I will raise it up again in 3 days. And John notes he was talking about the temple of his body. Jesus also predicted that the kingdom would eventually fill the earth. It would start small. It is not a dying religion, the Judeo-Christian tradition. It is a tradition based on historical evidence that is filling the earth until the time that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns and puts all things to right. Jesus, the culminating person of all the Old Testament, prophecies abound regarding him, his birth in Bethlehem, his descent from Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, his crucifixion with criminals. On and on, we look at Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament, demonstrating that prophecy helps us towards a cumulative case by which we demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. So to learn one or two of these magnificent prophecies and put it in your memory bank can be useful in demonstrating that the Bible's divine, as opposed to merely human in origin. So the M stands for manuscripts. The A represents archaeology. The P, prophecy. Predictive prophecy. So now we have a map. Well, if you go to your Bibles, you'll find not a map, but maps. Typically in the back of your Bible, you find these maps. Why? Because we can demonstrate that the Bible is rooted in history and in evidence. You won't find that credibly in the Book of Mormon. Because if you look at the Book of Mormon, it's not rooted in history and evidence. The only way you can believe the Book of Mormon is to have a burning in the bosom, a feeling. Of course, feelings are notoriously unreliable. But the Bible is rooted in history and evidence. Book of Mormon talks about the land of Moron in Ether 6-7, north of the Great Sea of Desolation. No archaeological cooperation. Likewise, there's no cooperation for the notion that the Jaredites and the Nephites and the Lamanites were descendants of the Israelites. Anthropology demonstrates that the Book of Mormon is not true. Archaeology demonstrates that the Book of Mormon is not true. But we have maps in the Bible that signify the Bible is rooted in history and evidence. The S in that acronym, MAPS, reminds us of scriptural synergy. The individual parts of Scripture cannot be understood without understanding the Bible as a whole, or the whole of Scripture cannot be understood unless you understand its individual parts. Therefore, as believers, we should learn to read the Bible in books, not in bits. If you read the book of Romans in bits, you are bound to misunderstand what Paul is driving at. Because he is giving a sustained argument, just like I am this morning. If you pull out a piece here or a piece there and don't read it within its context, you could easily misunderstand the message. So you should read the Bible in books, not with a scattergun approach. The Bible in books, not the Bible in bits. The Bible was written by 40 different authors over 1,500s of years on different continents in different languages, and yet it is synergistic, it is harmonious rather than deflective. The Bible, written by all these different people in different epochs, yet without contradiction. How do you explain that? Except that a sovereign God orchestrated 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. I want to end this morning's message by recalling a passage from the Scripture. This passage comes when Jesus sees a big crowd, and he begins to preach. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice, be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill with a lamp on it never exists with the lamp under a bowl. Instead, it's put on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who's in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish them. I came to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything has been accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus had a high view of Scripture. The infallible repository of redemptive revelation, which communicates that we are saved not by what we do, but by what Jesus Christ has done. In the meantime, He has left you here for a purpose. In gratitude for His grace received through faith in Jesus Christ alone, let us go out and reach a lost and searching world, giving a cup of cold water, a piece of bread, which we have so freely been given, the broken body, shed blood of Jesus Christ, for the complete remission of our sins.
Has God Spoken? A passionate defense of the divine authorship of the Bible, delivered at the 2010 Christian Research Institute National Conference, is available now on audio CD. We will send you Has God Spoken as a thank you for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also request your copy through the mail at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Your gift will continue to bless Christians around the world through the ministries of the Christian Research Institute. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Christmas. What does it mean? How can we know the historical accuracy of the incarnation accounts? When was Jesus born? Who were the wise men? What was the first Christmas really like? In his book, The First Christmas, The True and Unfamiliar Story, Paul Meyer helps you explore the who, what, when, and how of Christ's birth. To say thank you for your faithful support this month, we'll send you The First Christmas, a beautifully illustrated hardcover book that distinguishes historical fact from fiction, deepening your understanding of Emmanuel, God with us. Please send your gift today so you can receive The First Christmas in plenty of time to enrich your holiday or serve as a gift to a loved one. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The number of patients seeking plastic surgery has skyrocketed in the past decade. In his article titled Self-Esteem from a Scalpel, The Ethics of Plastic Surgery, Richard J. Poupard explains how we can discern when it is appropriate to seek the aid of plastic surgery. The new atheists call God's commands to kill the Canaanites Genesis
outside, yet a closer look at the horror of the Canaanites' sinfulness reveals that God's reason for commanding their death was not genocide, but capital punishment, as described by Clay Jones. Other articles include Should Christians Be Environmentalist?, The Negative Effects of Margaret Sanger, Television as the New Literature, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.